John chapter 5, and we'll read verse number 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." The victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. That's what I'm going to be talking about this evening for just a few moments. Faith is the victory. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again to come to your house. Lord, and thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that we can go to on a consistent basis in our own individual time, but then as a unit, as a congregation, as an assembly, Lord, and look at the truths of your Word and just glory in what it is that you want us to know and learn, and sometimes get convicted and sometimes feel uncomfortable, Lord, but always we can leave with the hope and the faith, Lord, that you do give the victory. Lord, I pray that you'll bless me tonight and use me. In a way that I can do what I cannot. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The Green Bay Packers were playing the Detroit Lions in 2015. I already lost them. I'll just skip to the last page here. Now, yes, I admit I am a cheesehead. Always been, always will be. You know, the good thing about being a Green Bay fan is you never have to worry about, well, losing, first of all. That's one thing. You never have to worry about the vaccine card. You know, to go to a Bulls game now, you know, of course, you got to have a vaccine card or something to show them to have proof that you have the vaccine. But in Green Bay, they say, you know what, it's negative 30. You know, everybody here is sick anyway, so if you come, you know, we're all sick. We're all, you know, runny noses all the time anyways. That's just normal for us. So I guess that's a pro. But getting back to this, the Green Bay Packers were playing the Detroit Lions in 2015. The Packers were getting whooped. And with 6 minutes left in the third quarter, they were down 20-0. Now, I remember watching this game. It was actually my 17th. It was my 17th birthday. And I had a couple of friends over from the church. My family was there. And, the presents were all right, whatever. I wanted to watch the game with my family and a couple of my friends. That was my birthday present. So it's, and yay, happy birthday. We're getting whooped 20-0, okay? So I remember this game very, very vividly. And I remember that down 20-0, 6 minutes left. And then the comeback started. A comeback started. In fact, the Pack finally got on the board when their own player fumbled the ball. The ball just kind of trickled into the end zone, and then one of our guys fell on it, and we got a touchdown. But at least we got on the board, all right? The comeback has begun. The team eventually, through crazy play after crazy play, clawed their way back into the game until the score was 21-23. But now it's the fourth quarter, and we got to go 79. Once again, the Packers have to go 79 yards with 6 seconds left on the clock. 79 yards, 6 seconds left on the clock. I got to be honest, I wanted my team to win, but that's a long way to go with only 6 seconds. No timeouts. 79 yards, 6 seconds left on the clock. They hike the ball, and they try a play where they just kind of keep lateraling it, keep throwing it backwards, hoping, with desperate hope, that the defense will break down and a hole will open and they can run 79 yards to the end zone. So they hike the ball. They end up throwing it back and back and tossing it around sideways and sideways. But finally, we get tackled. But there was a flag on the play. Thank the Lord for the flag. A flag on the play, and the flag happened after the buzzer. So the timer showed 0 minutes and 0 seconds left, but because of the penalty, they were granted one last play, still needing to go 61 yards to score. They drew up a play. Everybody go deep, right? Drew up a play, hiked the ball, and the quarterback heaved the ball 61 yards. And a former basketball player went to the end zone, boxed a couple of guys out, jumped up, caught the ball, and the Packers won. I remember as a 17-year-old watching that game. Well, I guess depending on what time of the night. Maybe I just turned 18, but either way, since it was my birthday, I think I was 17, watching that game, and all of us just, we went ballistic. I mean, to see not only a comeback, but to see something happen with zero, literally 0 seconds on the clock, and the comeback start. If there was ever a game that summed up the phrase, it was that game that summed up the phrase, you got to play until the last whistle blows. Play until the last whistle blows. Now, that's a funny story and a fun memory for me, but some folks would say that this country needs to go 61 yards with not enough time on the clock. Some people would say that this world is in bad, bad shape, and there's just not enough time to make any change. Now, I know that one day the trump is going to sound, and all of us, those that are saved, will go home. I know that one day the Lord will return, and we're going to meet him in the air. I know that someday soon our time on earth will be over, and eternity will begin. But until that day, I want to play until the last whistle blows. Until that day, I want to make sure I do all I can to make an impact for Christ. And until that day comes, I want to use everything that I can and I got for him. I like the quote an old preacher said. He said, anything that you've got, just pick it up and hit the devil with it. And that's what I want to do until the last whistle blows. Our country is in rough shape. We think about what just happened earlier this week with this shooting. That was just so tragic and just so sad and made you angry to read about and angry to hear and frustrated. And the thought of, how could this just keep happening? Every time we turn on the news, every time, especially in the Chicagoland area, every time you look at a headline, every time you hear a snippet on the radio or on the news, it's always just, how could it happen again? And our country, even going outside of Illinois, our country just seems to be in rough, rough shape. Once again, every headline, every time it gets to where you just take a break because you can't handle it anymore. I know what it's going to be. It's going to be bad, right? It's rough. It's rough. Our churches, some are in rough shape, as well as our world is in rough shape. But there's no reason to accept retreat or accept defeat. To those that have been serving God for some time and have seen this world wax worse and worse, I feel that must be tough. I feel, you know, I've only grown up in this rough stuff. I've only lived for the part that seems to have been pretty rough. But there are folks, you know, that talk about the good old days. And it must be rough to see the transition and the change from what America used to be to what it is today. But might I say that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I know the world seems rough, and I know our country seems rough, but my Bible says in our text, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I know the world seems rough, but my Bible says that ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. My Bible says in the last part of John 16:33, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. My Bible says that for with God nothing shall be impossible. My Bible says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, things are bad today, but to be honest, things were bad in John's day. Things were bad back in, when he wrote 1 John in Ephesus around 95 to 110 AD. Things were pretty rough. It wasn't too long before that that they had crucified Jesus Christ. World's got to be in rough shape to crucify Jesus Christ. Christianity was often viewed as wicked. In fact, at this point, Christianity is pretty much still an insult, the term Christianity. Leadership was evil and corrupt. Societal pressure was against the belief of those that loved Christ. Soon, John himself is going to be exiled for his belief. That's a rough, rough time. But still, John was able to write by the direction of the Holy Spirit, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory, and faith is the victory. And at the beginning of a year, starting 2022, I hope that we have the attitude that faith is the victory. You know, we can have the attitude of, man, 2020 was crazy. And then we could have the attitude of, man, 2020 was crazy, and 2021, was pretty crazy too. And we could have the attitude of, oh no, what's 2022 going to be like? Or we can have the attitude of faith is the victory that overcomes the world. A couple of thoughts about faith is the victory. Number one, in 2022, we ought to stay faithful to his ministry. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll be honest with you. When I first had this thought, I was developing this message. I had it with the intention in mind of preaching at the youth emphasis night that we had. I believe that was November. But then our long-winded teenage preachers preached so long that I decided not to do it. No, that wasn't the reason, but I held off and I've had this thought on my mind and heart. And then when the opportunity, of course, I wasn't pleased to hear that preacher was sick, but I'm always thankful. And I do want to say that I'm thankful that preacher asked me to preach tonight. I'm always thankful to be able to preach, and especially to be able to preach behind his pulpit and to this congregation. It truly is a blessing. And when that opportunity arose, I thought of this message pretty quickly. And I knew after thinking about it and praying about it, that this was what God wanted me to speak on at the beginning of 2022. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Let a man show account of us," this is Paul writing, "as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." What great verses and what a great attitude to have this year. Let a man show account of us. Our account should be ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God and faithful. That's a good challenge to give ourselves this year. To be ministers, stewards, and faithful. In fact, now more than ever, there's a temptation to quit our ministries. Now more than ever, there's a temptation to ease off of what we're doing for the church. Oh, the world is clearly against it. We know the devil's against it. He's doing everything he can to silence and to squish and to push back and to stop the ministries of the local church and of this church. And quite frankly, the world seems to be pretty much against it. They're not being any help, are they? They're not being any aid to us, are they? And you know what? It is becoming harder in some ways. You know, taking temperatures on the bus and having to ask some questions before someone gets on the bus doesn't make it easier, makes it harder. For the Christian school, having to be a little extra careful and take temperatures and to do the different things that are done, it doesn't make it easier, it makes it harder. And in some ways, it is easier, but because it is harder, and because the world is so against it, all the more reason to be faithful to those ministries. When the world is against it, we want to be more faithful. We want to remain faithful to those ministries. Think about it from this perspective. The world is changing. The world is changing vastly and quickly. Technology has and is changing how we live our everyday lives. If you don't believe me, I was just talking to my brother the other day. He works at the corporate Chase Bank office in Elgin, Illinois, where I worked for a little bit in college. And he said nationally, before in 2019, nationally, Chase Bank, 2% of their employees were work from home. At the end of 2021, they were up to 25%, a quarter of the national workforce for Chase Bank. And that's a big corporation, a big company. A quarter, one-fourth, doesn't even go into the office. World's changing. I kind of like it for the sake of going to Chicago. The traffic's a little less now that nobody's driving in. Everybody's working from home. But things are changing. Technology is changing the way that we live our everyday life. And might I say, it's important while the new generation, the young people, live in a world so different from the previous generations, it's important that they see the former generation stick to doing the things that God told that generation to do. It's important for the former generation to set a standard for the younger generation and say, hey, I know a lot of things are changing right now, and I know a lot of the way that our world works is changing right now, but some things aren't going to change. Some things are going to stay the same. Some things are going to remain. And one of those things is being faithful in our ministries. With all the change in the world, it's important that they see you being faithful to soul winning as you have been. It's important that they see you as everything else seems to be changing, that your commitment to your bus route does not change. It's important that as everything seems to be different, that you being in your pew isn't any different. It's important to for the young people to see us continue to stand for right, to continue to say amen, and to continue to back our pastor. You know, a lot of things are changing, but faith is the victory. And to be faithful, we must have faith. In a world that's changing, something needs to stay the same. Our ministries need not stop. Our desire to reach the lost doesn't need to stop. Our goal to praise God doesn't need to stop. Our passion to point others to Him doesn't need to stop. Stay faithful to His ministry. God values faithfulness over results. And that's a blessing to me. That encourages my heart to know that if I don't produce the results that I think or that I humanly can see would be a good number, that God's not pleased with me. In 1 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord." Faithfulness is what God judges us on, not results. And like I said, that's a blessing. I mean, think about it. Results aren't up to us anyways. You know, when we're able to see a good day on the bus or when we're able to see a soul saved out soul winning, we understand that that wasn't us that did that. That was the Lord. You know, we got to understand that God handles the results. He just wants us to be faithful. He just wants us to be faithful. Stay faithful in your ministries. Faith is the victory. So stay faithful to His ministry. Faith is the victory. The second thing I see is faith is vital for efficiency. Faith is vital for efficiency. In 1 John 5:4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." In another passage, God says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him." Now, might I speak to the young people for a moment and say, young people, if we want to please God, we need to have faith. If we want to please God, we need to have faith. If we want to make a difference like your parents' generation made a difference, if we want to make a difference like pastors' generation has made a difference, we need to have faith. We need to have faith. I feel like we're in a transitional time in our churches, in our fundamentalism. A lot of the men that have been holding the standard high for years and years and years are getting to the point where they're either passing off the scene physically or giving their ministries up to younger men. I praise the Lord that Pastor says that he's going to be here for a while. I thank the Lord for that. But we're getting into a transitional period. I think of my wife's church, Pastor Keith Gomez. He's been there for 40 years. And this is his final couple of months there at the church. It's a transitional time. And we need to make sure that we realize that the way that they were able to do, the way that he was able to keep that church for 40 years was because of faith. It was because of faith in God. Faith is vital to efficiency. Let's look at the definition. Webster's 1828 describes faith as the assent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another, belief or probable evidence of any kind. I got to be honest. I've read this definition a lot. And that's a lot of words. All right. So let's. I like Webster's 1828, but we're going to take a break from that. And let's look at the Bible definition for faith, because I read that. If you can tell me what that means, then I appreciate it. But that's tough for me. Let's just look at what the Bible says. This is what the Bible describes faith as. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I find it interesting that it says the word substance. When I say faith, substance doesn't, it's why did God put that word there? Substance is something that you can touch. Substance is something that you can feel. When I read this verse, I think of faith being a substance. I think of a little child in his home, in his bedroom, and he's supposed to be going to sleep. There's a storm outside, and he's nervous and he's scared, and he's got his teddy bear. He's got his stuffed animal. And for whatever reason, that kid thinks that if he holds on to that stuffed animal all night, that stuffed animal is going to keep him safe. That's his substance that he's holding on to. He's got that thing wrapped around tight. I see some of our teenage guys nodding. I'm a little concerned. He's got something that he thinks, as long as I've got hold of that teddy bear, I'm going to be protected. As long as I got that stuffed animal, I'm going to be protected. Well, we kind of got something like that, but a whole lot better than a stuffed animal. What is this faith? What is the substance of faith? The substance of our faith is the Word of God. This is the substance. This is the stuff that we can take hold of for faith. This is the stuff that we can look at, that we can put into our heart. This is what we can have as substance. The Bible describes itself as food. If you're feeling empty in your spiritual stomach through the TV headlines, if you're feeling a little sick through the spiritual nausea from the newspaper headlines, and you're feeling like there's no hope, and you're losing a little bit of your faith, and you start to feel yourself give in to the lie of the devil and think that there's no hope, and think that maybe this soul winning thing doesn't work anymore, and think that maybe this church three times a week thing isn't useful anymore. If you start to feel that way, maybe you need to put aside the empty food of the world and get yourself some substance. Young people, get yourself some substance, because faith is vital for efficiency. We can't go based off of just junk food. We got to have some substance. Faith is the substance, and that substance is the Word of God. Now, church, I want to say that I know that Christ is coming soon. Of course, we're always supposed to be looking for His appearing. And I know that the signs of the times are here. And I understand that when Christ is close to returning, people are going to heave to themselves, teachers having itching ears. I know that in the last days, like preacher talked about even last week, the church is said to be lukewarm. I understand that. But I also understand that believe that Christ is coming soon. But I also know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I also know that in Isaiah, He says, turn to Me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. In Timothy, I also know He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. To be honest, church, I can't say that I know when Christ is coming back. I can't say that I know if God's plan is for America to turn back to God or not. I hope it is. I have faith that it is. But I can't say that I know if it's God's plan for America to turn back to Him or to continue to get worse and worse. I can't say I know that if me, by giving my life, my time, and my energy, and my effort, if that will result in any drastic change into what this country is now. But I know this, without faith, it's impossible. I know this, that if I don't give my faith to God, then it's not going to happen. I know this, that if we as a church and if we as a nation don't give our faith to God, then He's not going to be able to work. The only thing that can limit God is our lack of faith. The only thing that can limit God is our lack of faith. But I have faith in God, and I think He can and will. He has more for this country. I have faith that He's not done with this country. I have faith that He's not done with Illinois. And there are times when that faith wanes, let me tell you. But I have faith. I don't think He's done with Illinois. There's exciting things ahead. I have faith because I know that God is not willing that any should perish. And there are people perishing in this state, in this country today. God has something big for us. I have faith and I believe it. I have faith that God's got great things planned for the youth group of Faith Baptist Church. I look around in TNT and in teen church with the bus kids that ride on our buses. I look at the faces of the teens and I have faith and I have confidence in God that there are great things ahead for the young people of Faith Baptist Church. If they realize that faith is a victory and faith is vital for efficiency. If they see the example of those that stay faithful in their ministry and they follow after that example. There is no efficiency without faith in God. Faith in myself is vanity and foolish. Faithfulness is impossible without faith. Then it's just oldness, right? You got to have the faith at the front. How can one be consistent if they don't have faith in God? If I was just trying to do this on my own power, I'd probably try once and then I'd say, you know what, I this ain't going to work. But when we have faith in God, we can be faithful. That's what I mean. We often use the word faithful just as a different word for consistency, but that's not really what it is it? Faithful is being so full of faith that you know that if you just keep doing it, God's going to bless it. That's what faithfulness is. It's more than consistency. It's being full of faith. Without faith, if there's no faith, there's no reason to do all that we do. But faith is, stay faithful in his ministry, and faith is vital for efficiency. And then the last thing I want to point out tonight is the best part. God supplies the victory. God supplies the victory. Our text verse, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory." This is the victory that overcometh the world. It doesn't say this might be the victory, or this hopefully is the victory. It says that this is the victory that overcometh the world. God is undefeated. God is undefeated. God has never lost. God has all power, all knowledge, all presence, and God supplies the victory. Hey, church, aren't you thankful tonight that it's not up to us? Aren't you thankful tonight that it's not up to us to supply the victory? Hey, I look at that prayer list that we had, and I thank God for this often. Thank you, Lord, that it's not up to me to help all the names on this list. Thank you, Lord. If it was up to me to make sure that preacher got better and he could back here on Sunday, you'd be having to listen to me for a lot longer than you would, many, many more weeks, because I can't help them. I can't. I can't help these folks on this list. But you know what? God can supply the victory. God can supply the victory. We just got to be faithful. Be faithful. God is undefeated. God's never lost. We don't have to worry about securing it because he supplies it. He overcomes the world, the whole world. All the evil, God will overcome. All the wickedness, God will overcome. All the deceit, God can overcome. All the cheating, all the conspiring, all the lying, all the misleading, God can overcome. All the fear-mongering, all the hate, all the hurting, all the disappointing, all the discouraging, God overcomes it all. God overcomes it all. All we have to do is just have faith. That's so nice to know once you realize it. And we forget that from time to time, but it's so nice to know that all we got to do is just be in our place and have faith, and God's going to do the rest. What a great, great feeling. You know, the famous phrase is, without God we have nothing, and with God we have everything. Everything. I want to see victory in our country. I really, really do. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about lives changed. I want to see people happy because they have the joy of the Lord. Preachers mentioned it often. There's just a lot of discouragement today. You know, you see it. You knock on doors. You talk to bus kids. You talk to bus parents. And just, man, it's just always seems to be bad news. I feel like we got used to hearing it so much on the news and reading so much about it that we think that's just a cool thing to do nowadays, is just talk about all the bad news. Now, it'd be great. Wouldn't it be great to see a revival of joy in our country? Wouldn't it be great to see a revival in our country again? I have faith that God can do it. I have faith that it can start with us. To bring it to a close, you know, we ought not to think that faith in God means that God's going to overcome every obstacle in our life and things are going to be easy and carefree. I mean, as John wrote these words, you know, shortly after this, he died a tragic death. You know, a way that many does lose their faith is because they say, hey, I've got faith in God. And then some problem comes in their life and they think, well, I had faith in God and now I got problems. So there goes my faith. And that's not what God's really talking about. You know, God will overcome the things that we cannot. And he says it's up to us to overcome the things that he gives us strength to overcome. But the things that we can't overcome, the things that we can't do, God will overcome. Faith is the victory. Either way, we have victory. I got to be honest, you know, working with teens in 2022 is a little bit of a daunting task, especially with our bus teens that come through. And I have such a heart for those young people over there every Sunday. You know, public school system's a mess. It's more than a mess. It's a mess. Vast majority of entertainment is just propaganda and agenda directed towards the young people of our country. And to be honest, there are times when it seems like a guy like me doesn't have a chance. How am I going to help all these people? They only get church for an hour and a half a week, and then they get the rest of the rap music and the rock music and the world and the shows and the videos and the apps and all that stuff shoved down their throat the rest of the week. What's a guy like me going to do? But I've got some substance that I can hold on to. I've got some stories that I can go about to a little boy that had five smooth stones that kind of gives me some substance that God can do something. I've got some stories about a couple of young men that even though they were away from home, they decided to do right and to not kneel. And things seem to work out pretty good for those young men. I've got some substance for some folks, for a little lad that, you know, maybe he didn't kill a giant or maybe he didn't walk on water like Peter, but he at least was willing to give Jesus his lunch. God performed a miracle with that. We got some substance that we can hold on to. You know what? Whenever I start to get down, I just got to grab myself some substance and realize, you know what? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, as we start 2022, might I suggest stay faithful in your ministry. Stay faithful in your ministry. Not consistent. Stay faithful in your ministry. Faith is vital for efficiency. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And God gives the victory. All we got to do is be in our place, doing our job, and He'll overcome for us. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your attention and listening this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I ask that you'll help and bless our church this year. Lord, to have faith in you and all that we do. Lord, we've seen what we can do, what you can do with our church when we put our faith in you. We saw through the prayer prompter, the prayer revival that we had, and you did some exciting things with our church. But Lord, that was last year. And Lord, we want to start off on the right foot, Lord. And who knows, this might be the year that not only does something great happen with Faith Baptist Church, but something great happens with all of Kankakee County. And maybe if something happens big with Kankakee County, it'll spread over to Kane County. And then maybe all of Illinois will get revival. And who knows, maybe it'll just keep spreading and spreading until the whole nation's got revival. Wouldn't a great thing that would be, Lord. Lord, we have faith, and we understand that faith is vital for efficiency, Lord. And we understand that you supply the victory, Lord. So please help us to be faithful in our ministries and have faith in our hearts as well. If you'd stand to your feet as the piano plays, if you'd like to come forward, we'll have a brief moment of invitation.